Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pound law on your cell phone. That's #529. Pound law, that's all. Morgan & Morgan, for the people.com.
Data message rates apply. National contest. It's Unicorn Cash Time on 92.9. Every hour, weekdays from 7 a.m. through 7 p.m. And right now.
This hour's word is hold. Text the word hold, H-O-L-D. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Again, your word is hold, H-O-L-D. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. I'll have your next code word at 3 o'clock. One more time, this hour's word is hold, H-O-L-D. Text that word right now to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. Good luck. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter at JWright929ESPN. Across the glass, the producer of the program, he's Connor Dunning. He is at CDunning929 on Twitter. Connor, what's going on, man?
Good day, sir. Happy first day of Beale Street Music Fest.
Happy first day of Beale Street Music Fest to you. This will be my first music fest at 30. So I can't wait to want to leave at about 9:30. That'll be
so
awesome.
Getting tired.
Really?
As you get
there. Yeah. Listen, I know Dave hasn't played the hits yet, but you know, tomorrow's gonna come pretty early. We can beat the traffic.
Right. Right.
Yeah. It is funny how the older you get, you realize you just turn into your dad. Like the things that used to my dad's ridiculous, and then I realize I'm really turning into my dad, and like. Faster and faster by the day. Let's tell everyone we got coming up here on the program. Here's what we're going to talk about coming up next. I really like this idea. Here we go. And I know that's going to shock some people. I like this idea since it was my idea. All right, Connor, here's what I'm thinking. We know the big prospects that are out there. RJ Hampton, Boogie Ellis, Precious Achiuwa, Lester Quinones, Rajon Tucker, Trenton Watford. Here's what I think will be a fun exercise for us. Obviously, in the ideal world, hey, get them all. But let's also deal in reality. That's not going to happen. And
right.
Yes, it would be amazingly fun to see essentially an NBA team on the college hardwood, especially since our NBA team right now kind of resembles more of a in-between NBA college team right now. It'd be fun, but the truth is, that's just not going to happen. Having covered recruiting, it just doesn't work that way. You're going to get some, you're going to lose some. The goal is to get as many as you can, obviously, and the more consistently you do that, the better you will. So we're going to go through the thought exercise of what collection will be realistic and give the Tigers the best chance to win big next year. Jonah Jordan's also going to join us during this hour. He'll come in studio at about 2:25. We'll get Jonah's thoughts on Tiger recruiting. Might even get into a little Tiger football and more. At the top of the 3 o'clock hour, as we mentioned, today is indeed Beale Street Music Fest Day. I'm very dumb, and so what I like to do is make comparisons that basically, clarify the picture for me. And since I know a lot of these acts, I consider myself a pretty well-versed person in music. I don't know a lot of these acts. So what we're going to do is, I presume a lot of you are like me. You know some of the names that you've seen in the lineup, but you don't know every single name. Excuse me. We gotta let Dave hit this. Mm-hmm. A little more. Bring it up. That might be my favorite 25 seconds in music of any piece of music that's ever been written.
Here's what I'll say about
very
Dave
end, that goes in from the bridge to the very end of the song. That might be my favorite 25 seconds of music.
It's great. He is also very underrated for his acting skills.
Yes. No, he's a theater guy. It's people don't realize part of what made the Chappelle Show so funny is Dave Chappelle's a classically trained actor.
Correct.
Like, oftentimes when you see really funny comedians, they can't act. Chappelle can act, and that's what made the Chappelle Show so great, is because even when he's smiling at the camera, he's still a performer. And so, yes, but you are right. So back to the Music Fest thing, what we're going to do is we'll take Dave Matthews, for instance, and we'll tell you the athlete that we think he best correlates with, and that will be we'll do that for some of the big names to give you an idea. If you too want to go to Tom Lee Park and see Beale Street Music Fest, we'll give you an idea of what you're going to be looking at. 325, Joe Mullinax he'll join the program. We'll get into Grizzlies discussion. He's been doing fantasy booking of trades over at Grizzly Bear Blues Live. We'll get into that. We'll get his thoughts on the early parts of the coaching search. We'll get into the big stories from our Google Doc when we close the program. Then we'll make way, or at least I'll make way, because Connor's going to be right there in the co-pilot seat on the Gary Parrish Show. But I will make way for Gary to come in here. All right, but let's start with what we were discussing at the very beginning of the show. Obviously, when you see the big names that now the Tigers are involved in, again, essentially five of the biggest names still available for this recruiting class, the Tigers have a legitimate shot at almost all five.
Right.
Now, obviously, they have a better shot with some, but they are very much in play for five of these kids. And the five kids that, of course, we are referring to are RJ Hampton, Boogie Ellis, Lester Quinones, Precious Achiuwa, and Trenton Watford. Here's what I want to do for our thought exercise. You and I were mentioning this yesterday. I think we both see eye to eye on this. We like basketball teams that structurally make sense.
Right.
As much as I hate the Golden State Warriors, part of the reason why they don't make my blood boil, I hate their fans more than the basketball team. I will say that. Now, with that being said, there's still plenty of hate to go around, and Draymond, you get a lot of it. But they make sense structurally.
Right.
You have the point guard that can essentially, as soon as he crosses half court, he's in range. That stretches defenses to begin with. Then you have Draymond Green, who at the four, he's a good enough athlete that when he has space, you have to honor him because he's super athletic. And then defensively, obviously, he makes even more sense. And then the third element that I love about them is Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is what I think one of the best pure shooters in the NBA.
Absolutely.
And it makes sense when you consider how defenses have to honor when you have Curry that stretches you out and puts pressure on you immediately. You have the point guard that, to me, like, you have two choices. You can either be the Steph Curry type point guard, where maybe you're not the world's greatest athlete, but let's not kid ourselves. Steph Curry's not a bad athlete, but he stretches the floor with his range, and he's obviously a tremendous ball handler. Or you can be the best version of Derrick Rose, in my opinion. Tony Parker was similar in this fashion, even though you may not look at it the same athletically, but guys that effortlessly get into the paint, collapse defenses, and then get good looks for everyone. To me, there's two ways to do it, but I think Steph does it one way. I think Derek did it the other way. But I think those are the two types of point guards, Tony Parker as well, that I think essentially drive engines. Would you say that's fair?
I think that's fair.
Okay. Then you have Thompson, the type of shooter that when he's on, forget it. Like, it's just, you tip your cap to him. I mean, for God's sakes, what was the Bulls game this year? He had like 60 and three quarters.
He is the most terrifying player in the NBA to me.
Just a lethal shooter.
He can destroy you without even dribbling. It's unbelievable to watch.
Yes, he doesn't have to create his own shot. I think he's very good at catching the ball in a shooting position and quick release. All the buzzwords that you can use for great shooters. And then on top of that, he has a pretty jump shot.
It's so pretty.
Let me rephrase it. He has a pretty follow through, which is the most important aspect for me, the follow through. You have to have that proper wrist flick and hold it like so, so that everyone knows that not only did you hit the three, but he knows it, you know it, and he wants to make sure we all witnessed it and we appreciate it.
Yeah, he holds it pretty long.
Huge part. And then you have the power forward in Draymond, and it's similar with what made the Spurs good forever. Tony Parker, the elite point guard, Manu, the ultimate spot-up shooter, and then Tim Duncan, the force at the four position. And I think that makes sense even in today's college basketball game. There's other ways to go about it. But in general, I think if you have those three elements, that typically makes for a very, very good basketball team. When people talk about the triangle offense and whatnot, well, it came down to the same idea. I mean, you're trying to put pressure, you're trying to have angles to put pressure on defenses to get easy looks. It's not that difficult. I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. But also, people, sports are not complicated. Don't let coaches tell you otherwise. But in terms of what is realistic for the Memphis Tigers, you're not going to get all of these guys. So the question then becomes, because I want this thought exercise to not be pie in the sky. I want it to be realistic. Okay, let's start with what seems to be pretty much a known fact. Lester Quinones does seem to be, barring some type of unforeseen set of circumstances, Lester Quinones is going to be a Memphis Tiger sooner rather than later. So I think we should start there. Okay, so now let's take from the remaining pool of players that we have. RJ Hampton, Boogie Ellis, Precious Achiuwa, and Trenton Watford. Okay, I will mark the time down. It's, according to the clock, it's 2:11:17 on Friday. I think if Trenton Watford were going to be a Memphis Tiger, we would know that already.
Right.
This process has been going on too long. I just think we've reached the point where if that were going to happen, it would have already happened. Again, I will eat those words if he ends up being a Tiger, but it would truly surprise me at this point, not only just from a speculation standpoint, but from talking with people that cover recruiting, talking to people that know the situation. To me, it just seems... Here's the other thing with recruiting in particular. And I think recruiting reporters get way too bad of a name. Because in the end, I can tell you safely, I know for a fact, things can change the night before signing day.
Correct.
A kid was going somewhere and all of a sudden, he doesn't sign there. Davin Godchaux he ended up at LSU. He showed up at school on National Signing Day in a navy blue polo with a red, the little guy that rides the horse, the little logo, that was red. Lo and behold, he signs with LSU in that polo. He was down between Ole Miss and LSU. I'm thinking something changed from the time that he woke up that morning to the time that he put his name on the paper. With that being said, to me, all signs point to it seems unlikely that Trenton Watford is going to be a Tiger. Again, if Will Wade ends up getting fired, I do think that throws a new wrench into the play. If Will Wade ends up getting fired, I do think that creates another opportunity, and perhaps the Tigers, with a pre-existing relationship, perhaps they're able to close on Trenton Watford and get that done. But to me, I'm going to say he's out. So that brings us to Boogie Ellis, Lester Quinones. Well, obviously we mentioned Lester seems to be the given. Boogie Ellis, RJ Hampton, and Precious Achiuwa. All right, let's start with Boogie Ellis. I find it highly unlikely that Boogie Ellis decommitted from Duke. He's already signed the national letter of intent. He asked for the release. He's granted the release. I find it highly unlikely that he did that without a destination.
Correct.
That seems to me to be pretty far-fetched.
It has shades of the DJ Jeffrey situation to me. Without the
I would say
relationship.
My first thought was keeping it locally was it was Alex Lomax. The only difference is when Alex decommitted, we already knew the whole story,
right.
And there are more plot points involved, but that's what it reminds me of. It's the same thing. He's decommitted. And so I think that means that you're sitting here now with with these two facts. I think right now you can pencil in Boogie Ellis. I think you can pencil in Lester Quinones. And then I think we have to have, this is where the true discussion starts. So you have RJ Hampton and Precious Achiuwa remaining on the board. I guess you could also throw in Rajon Tucker. But to me, this is what I think would be, this is what I think is, it's complicated. Essentially, you have a graduate transfer guard. I find it very unlikely that a grad transfer guard is going to go to a place where he's, especially considering where he's, you know, he's in demand. I find it hard to believe he's going to go to a spot where it doesn't seem likely that he's going to start with the ball in his hands. Does that seem fair?
I think that's fair.
Okay. So now that brings us to RJ Hampton. Okay. We know what RJ Hampton's father, Rod Hampton, told John. He told John when the immediate speculation was that Boogie Ellis and RJ Hampton had the opportunity to play on the same team, the first question would be, well, why do they want to play on the same team? And it's a fair question. And here's why it's a fair question. Essentially, RJ removed Duke from his consideration because Trey was coming back to Duke.
Right.
And he wasn't going to have the ball in his hands. Boogie Ellis is a point guard. And I understand that RJ is more of a combo guard. He can play the point if he needs to play the point. But it does seem likely if you are recruiting Boogie Ellis, it seems most likely to me that you're committing him with the premise of this is going to be my point guard. Is that fair?
I think that's fair.
Who typically starts the offense with the ball in his hands?
Usually the point guard.
What type of point guard is Boogie Ellis?
A good one? A
ball dominant one?
Oh, okay. That was, I didn't know where you were going with that.
A ball dominant one.
Okay.
In general. I find it unlikely. I understand what Rod Hampton has said. And by the way, I'm not calling him a liar. It's not at all. I just think when it comes down to decision-making time, I think RJ's going to go where, in general, the ball is going to start with him. And to me, it seems that we've reached the point in which Boogie Ellis, I don't like saying done deal. Like, I don't. But to me, I find it very unlikely that a situation and had not occurred with Boogie Ellis headed to Memphis. So now, I think that leaves the single biggest question mark, which is Precious Achiuwa. We know the ties between Precious Achiuwa and Lester Quinones. Known each other since the seventh grade, good friends, and appear to, if possible, they'd like to play together. Here's the one thing that I find fascinating about Precious Achiuwa's recruitment. Every school thinks they're getting him. Whether it's Memphis, whether it's UConn, whether it's North Carolina. Indiana is kind of weird because I think the people that cover Indiana don't even know if the coaching staff knows who they're recruiting at this point. There seems to be a little confusion there. But in general, it seems like a coin flip. So this is the bigger question I have for you, Connor. What do you risk by going all in on RJ Hampton? And here's the reason why I asked that. Today, SportsIllustrated.com, SI.com released their top 20 or their top guys for the 2020 NBA draft. Number one, no surprise, James Wiseman. Number three, RJ Hampton. What are you willing to risk to go get RJ Hampton? Knowing full well that guess what? A lot of other people are going to be willing to risk it all to get RJ Hampton. I think the question is, to me, it seems, are you willing to risk, I guess, Boogie Ellis?
My opinion is that I would stay safe, and I would take Lester Precious and Boogie over Risk.
You're taking the dollar today versus
over going all in on Archie.
The $10 next week.
Yeah, I'm going to take the sure thing. Because Boogie ain't no scrub. He's a really, really good point guard. Precious is an NBA-level player. Lester can do a lot of really good things for you on the wing. I'm going to take those three guys instead of risking it all for one.
I completely agree with you, and here's the biggest reason that I completely agree with you. I have seen so many signing days go down to the wire and it go against you. And let's look at the players that are involved. Duke, I presume we're about to find out that RJ Hampton has started to re-include Duke into his recruitment process. Duke, Kansas, Texas Tech. I missed one, Carolina?
They'll probably call him. I would be shocked if they don't at least call him.
But at the end, you're going up against big boys.
Yeah.
And best I can tell, only one team gets him. You don't get any players when you finish second, even though Ed Orgeron built a recruiting reputation based on finishing second at Ole Miss. Regardless, you don't actually get any players. You're 100% right. You got a chance to get a borderline five-star point guard already. If you've got a chance to make it happen. And then I think the most interesting question is, then after that, is how does Precious Achiuwa fit into all this? Because when you start looking at it, this is what I think when people want to know what's going on in recruiting, what's going on? Here's the other thing. There's more drama in the discussion of recruiting than there is actually in the recruiting. It's not like this isn't, I think oftentimes we think of recruiting like we see disaster scenes in movies that involve the president of the United States in the underground bunker. And there's always, give me some info. We got this, you know, this constant flow of information and people are talking every 10 minutes. That's not the way it works. Like, yes, coaches are calling kids and kids are talking to other kids, but it's not like every single day up until signing day, these kids are going to be, you know, getting out pen and paper and writing down pros and cons and telling people what they think. It's like any other kid makes a decision. You know what I mean? Like the kid probably has an idea in his head where he wants to go, but it's not like he's constantly talking about it. It's not like he's creating this dramatic scene out of nowhere. And so I think oftentimes we think that perhaps they're weighing the decision as much as maybe perhaps we are. But what is the most fascinating with Precious is every school thinks they have him. So in general, I'm going to side with Memphis doesn't end up getting him because I have a 1-in-5 chance versus a 4-in-5 chance if one of the other schools get him. So that leaves the question is, what does this Memphis basketball team look like with Boogie, with Lester Quinones? And then I guess at that point, you then would add Rajon Tucker?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't get Precious, they will go after Rajon. I mean, I think that that's probably what the plan is. I think that Precious is coming with Lester, though. I would be surprised because listening to Lester on Jason and John a couple days ago, that second phone call that he talked about with Precious, I think, is important and it means something. Precious, I mean, that looked like that official visit really did do some good for Memphis.
We'll talk about it with Jonah Jordan. We'll ask him what he thinks. He's well-versed in all these matters when we come back right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Fast, reliable internet. Is that important to your business?
We couldn't work without it.
At Comcast Business, we go beyond fast with amazing solutions and a great deal.
What kind of solutions?
Well, how about automatic 4G LTE backup for complete reliability?
I like the sound of that. What else?
Powerful Wi-Fi that keeps your employees connected and bandwidth you can allocate between your customers and employees.
I didn't know Comcast Business did that.
Oh, I'm not done yet. Advanced voice solutions at affordable prices. How about business TV that keeps customers entertained?
Okay, I'm convinced. But didn't you say something about a great deal?
Right now, get started with 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add one voice mobility line and sign up for EcoBill and automatic payment. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without eco bill and auto pay. Offer ends 5/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to update hours.
Hey, it's Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenue with parking on Front Street. Come for that special night or just a great evening out with friends. Featuring our signature shrimp and grits and other fresh seafood from the Gulf. We also offer sustainable beef, pork, and lamb entrees. Top off your evening with warm bread pudding and praline sauce. Make your reservations now at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
A short-term loan at Ace Cash Express is an easy way for you to cover unbudgeted expenses, and it's never been more convenient to apply. Come see us at one of our neighborhood locations in Tennessee or visit from your computer or smartphone at acecashexpress.com. Loans at Ace are backed by a 72-hour satisfaction guarantee. If you change your mind, just bring back the money borrowed within 72 hours and we'll call it even.
All loans subject to approval. Loans should be used for short-term financial needs and not as a long-term solution. Customers with credit difficulties should seek credit counseling.
Ace Cash Express, earning your trust since 1968.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that the Smile Center is where I go to the dentist. It's where my entire family goes to the dentist. It's Dr. Mady Sadeghi's place at 6750 Poplar. And the reason it's great is because the folks at the Smile Center take care of you and treat you like family. You don't feel like you're going to the dentist as much as you feel like you're going to see friends. So if you are looking for a new dentist, look no further than the Smile Center at 6750 Poplar, which, by the way, is now accepting additional insurance plans in 2019. And check this out. The Smile Center is now also offering an annual membership plan for people who do not have dental insurance. For just $250 per year, you're going to receive a comprehensive exam, a full head x-ray, a cavity detection x-ray, a periodic exam, and two annual cleanings. It's a value right around $530. You can get it for just $250. So if that interests you, and if you don't have traditional insurance, it should, give the Smile Center a call, 901-309-1333, 901-309-1333, or just get the information on the web, SmileCenterMemphis.com.
Hi, it's Flo. And you know what word I don't get? Shampoo. The first half of the word is sham, and the second part you definitely don't want to see in the shower. That's why I made up a neat word, Flotection. The feeling of security you get when your new house is protected by home insurance through me and Progressive. I mean, seriously, shampoo? What part of that makes you want to rub it all over your hair?
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
If you own a pair of Skechers, this ad is not for you because you already know they're the most comfortable shoes on the planet. This ad is for those who've never tried Skechers, for the few who have never experienced the otherworldly comfort of Skechers air-cooled memory foam, never floated across the ground on comfort pods, or experienced Skechers seamless knits. You're missing out. That's like never petting a puppy. So we've made this ad for you, in hopes of showing you the light. Skechers. Live comfortably. Available at a Skechers store near you or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
Enjoy fresh, flavorful, and made-for-you meals with today's Perks Deal. $25 to Moe's Southwest Grill for only $15. Create your own burritos, bowls, tacos, nachos, salads, and more. Get yours at GetMyPerks.com.
Now, we're back with Jeffrey Wright on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
I wonder if he'll play this tonight. I'm kidding, Kyle.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I think he will.
Typically at festivals, you play the hits. Generally the way that it works. It's like, oh, going to the Third Eye Blind show. Wonder if he'll play Semi Charmed Live.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. They will.
Well, that's why, like, I went to go see Journey, and I saw Sister Hazel within the past year. And whenever they did the parts where they were like, our new album, it's like, ah, we, like, dude, what? You know why we're here.
No.
It's like, I'm not here to hear your new album, bro.
It's why.
Play the hits.
It's why I understand if you're, it's funny, though. Think of two things that we would go pay to see. Stand-up comics and musicians. We get upset if stand-up comics, quote-unquote, tell the same jokes. Like, they're expected to have new material essentially every year and tour that. Yet, if we go to a... there is nothing worse than going to see, hey, this one's from the new album. We didn't come here for that.
No.
We came here to sing along, have a couple of pops, and that's what we're here for.
So. I'm good if you throw out like one or two new songs, but if you hit me with like four in a row, come
it's
on.
Listen, I'm not the world's biggest country music fan.
It is a bathroom break, though. I will give it that.
There's that. Well, no, that's the ultimate bathroom break. And this was where I was going with this. I'm not the world's biggest country music fan, but Garth Brooks gets it.
Yeah, he gets it.
He apologized before playing the one new song from his album. And then he goes, oh, hell, let's play the hits. And he just kept rolling. But he was smart because he plays for like 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Like, it is a massive show. So the bathroom break is he brings his wife, Trisha Yearwood, and she opens for him. And then there's like a little thing in the middle where they do two or three songs together. And then that's your opportunity to go to the bathroom. And then right back in it. That's, listen, Garth's the man for the reason.
Yeah, pure entertainment is watching Garth Brooks like try to talk to a camera, though. It's like he's never seen a camera before in his entire life and doesn't exactly know what he's doing.
That's a very good point. All right, let's get back on topic. Jonah Jordan of the Daily Memphian joining us, as of course, as always on Twitter, @_JonahJordan. All right, tell us now, Jonah, who the Tigers getting?
Yeah, I'm just looking to the future.
I'm holding you to this.
Okay. Jeff holds it to me every Thursday mm-hmm. at 9:25 for a little plug for those listening.
I think I'm going to start referring to Jeff as the needle because yesterday he was – don't act like you were the only one that was getting the needle yesterday.
He started
the show with me. He's going after me.
I was like, oh, I bet Jeffrey's happy. He stopped with you, and he started on me.
No, because I knew it was always going to come right back around, because he's got me every single day. But, yeah. No, let's go with it. Who are they getting?
It's an interesting question. Honestly, it just is – we're looking at who announces first.
Lester's
on May 10th.
Okay, so
– he's the only one with a set announcement date.
I think if you made me guess, he announces – he's the first of all, because even if Boogie Ellis has told Memphis he's coming and it's done for sure, don't worry about it, I don't think he'll make that public until later.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so then it becomes, okay, I'll ask it this way. Who's the first guy that you want to see where he goes to help you determine better which way it's going to go for the rest of the guys?
Before like 2 weeks ago, I would have said Trendon.
Okay.
Because he was the guy. It was like, okay, his decision, it's going to start some domino effects. And then he pulled off because obviously Will Wade got his job situation sussed out over there at LSU. But I still think that's in flux. Like, if I woke up tomorrow and Will Wade was fired, would you be shocked?
Yes, because here's how I think Will Wade gets fired. I think Will Wade... And I think thus far, for the most part, from the reports that we're seeing out of the federal trial, the only way that I think Will Wade gets fired is if we get on the record testimony in that federal trial that the NCAA will use. Because I firmly believe LSU did want to fire Will Wade,
yeah,
but LSU did not want to pay the buyout, did not want to pay to fire him. They wanted to fire him with cause.
Yeah.
And their lawyers said, listen, we understand it doesn't look great, but we don't have cause. And they're
you had cause. I think it's funny that people don't find that to be cause, but
I think, let me phrase it. Their lawyers advised them, we do not believe in a court of law that we can prove we had cause.
So Will Wade ended up with his job and things started swinging back towards LSU. So Trent Wofford, I've said this a million times, but if he had announced that weekend, he was going to Memphis. If he had announced that at the Jordan Brand Classic, he was going to Memphis. I firmly believe that. And that would have taken you out of the running for Precious Achiuwa, probably. I still think you probably would have gotten Lester Quiñones, but it would have changed some things.
Are Lester and Precious as connected as the perception is?
I think they've played together since seventh grade. They know each other very well. I think if they were 100% a package deal, you'd have more teams on them than Memphis. I think at one point the only teams they had in common were Memphis and Georgia. Like, nobody is like Kansas. Kansas hears about Lester Quiñones and Precious Achiuwa. You're not going to turn down a potential 3-and-D prospect when everybody wants guys that can shoot threes and a top 15 guy.
Okay, hang with me here, and I'm playing devil's advocate to an extent. What if the situation is the reason why Memphis and Georgia are the only two common schools?
And Lester ruled Georgia out. a long time ago.
I was going to say, so the only, I guess that would be the answer, because my deal is, well, what if those are the two schools that say, hey, to get this done, you want to do the package, we'll do the package, whereas the other school says, well, we don't have to do the package. For instance, I saw this with Laramie Tunsil's recruitment.
Yeah.
One of the big problems was, obviously, everyone wanted Laramie Tunsil. Well, not everyone wanted Laramie's half-brother, Alex Weber, the receiver, and a lot of people didn't want Cedric Woods,
yeah,
who is also was tight with Laramie. Ole Miss goes, we'll take him both.
But it's not, we see a lot of package deals that are talked about, like, oh, yeah, a lot of it is kids just don't want to say, hey, in public, hey, I don't really, it doesn't matter to me, you know? I think on some level they do want to play together, that having Lester would help you a lot with Precious. Now, is it a 100% thing? I don't think so. I don't think they're 100% tied together, because if they're 100% tied together, they're going to have a lot more schools in common than Memphis at this point. Like Kansas, or who else is involved with Precious? I don't think North Carolina even has the space at this point. But
Indiana
would be...
UConn.
But Indiana isn't recruiting Precious. Like, you would have... Look at the schools that recruit Lester. It's Indiana. It's Memphis. It's LSU. It's other ones. I think it helps. 100%, like, I think it helps. But is it 100% sure thing that if you get Lester, you get Precious? I don't think so. I think it moves the needle in your direction in a good, positive manner.
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point in terms of what kids say. And I think it's interesting with Precious, because Precious, I don't feel like, had a ton of interest in Memphis, yet I give Memphis full credit. Once they got him on campus, they got him.
Yeah.
They got his attention.
Lester talked about it. Lester talked about it on this radio station. He was on with Jason and John the other day. He said before that Memphis visit, he wasn't feeling it. And then he got it off and he called me. He says, I'm going to have to reconsider things now because the official visit blew him away. I mean, that's a substantial thing to me. I mean, like, before, I think it was because you had other factors going into it. Trenton was going to Memphis. Other stuff was going on. And I don't know if he necessarily knew a ton about it. Then you bring him on the official visit. You take him, you go have a photo shoot on Beal. You show him, you know how official visits are. But I do know he has a few more left.
The only news...
Maybe one or two.
The only... To me, it is not news when someone's official visit goes well.
It's news when it doesn't.
It's news when it doesn't go well.
Which you rarely see.
Yes. Because you also raise another good point. Another issue that we see is there's more recruiting coverage than ever.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
And you brought this point up, and I think it's a very good point. Kids, when... At the end of the day, these are kids. They're not, like, when they're talking to someone and he's covering for, Go Dogs 247 Sports, like, that guy's going to ask about Georgia.
Yep.
Because that's his job. Mm-hmm. His subscribers pay for Georgia recruiting information. Yeah. When the same guy that works for 247, Rivals, whatever, for North Carolina calls and asks, he's going to ask about North Carolina. Why? Because that's what his subscribers want to read. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
And these kids aren't just going to be like, man, that place sucks.
Yeah.
And
the most telling thing to me, because I did this. You did this.
Yes.
The most telling thing to me was not what kids say, is what they didn't say, is when you talk to somebody and they're like, okay, this kid got an offer, he's interested, maybe take a visit. And you call the kid. You know he's announcing soon or something, and he doesn't answer. Then the silence speaks more volumes to me than the words.
The silence didn't tell me, or at least I didn't come to, like, conclusions based on silence, because in fairness, like, I understood, and I covered more football recruiting than basketball recruiting. There's obviously more people covering football recruiting, and so I didn't make too much out of the silence, because at a certain point, I just put myself in that position. I would have just freaking changed my phone number.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I did always make, because... While obviously, like, I, when I was covering for Ole Miss and I would ask Ole Miss questions, I would always pay attention to when I'd ask, well, what about Alabama? What about whatnot? And then I would listen to how they answered with that.
Yeah.
I had a couple of kids that, like, when you'd ask about Alabama, they would get they never said anything bad about Ole Miss. It wasn't derogatory. It wasn't anything else. It was just, then when you'd get them talking about Alabama,
you went from getting a three-sentence answer about Ole Miss to getting paragraphs about Alabama. And then I would go, I wonder where he's going.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet Alabama.
I've never in my career had trouble getting a kid who is going to Memphis on the phone.
That's probably, I do think basketball recruiting is different because Jeff asked me.
Oh, it's the same thing with football, though. Kids who aren't considering going to Memphis at all, maybe it's different because it's a different conference. It's a different situation with Memphis football. And, you know how football recruiting goes. It's a difficult thing. And, like, 87 people. But even with the big-time prospects, I'm one of 1,000 people trying to reach out to Rod Hampton or such and such and such and such and Boogie Ellis and Rajon Tucker and all these people in a day to talk to him, to write a story about them, to see what's going on in their recruitment. But still, like you say, you're from Memphis. I think that, and they are considering it, that does help for them to answer the phone. But even if they're not, like, that's a total, we're gotten a little bit off topic, but I've never had trouble with that.
No, I think it's a fair point because in the end, like, this is what, to me, like, this is the more important thing. I don't think it does anyone a bunch of, I don't think we do any service by covering 12 days, you know, spending the next 12 days talking about kids that aren't going to come here.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it does anyone any good. I do think that if we're starting to really consider what is this roster shaping up to be the next, you know, next year, and, you know, trying to figure out, okay, well, if this roster looks one way, if this roster looks like it's RJ Hampton, if it looks like it's Precious Achiuwa to go with Lester Quinones and Boogie Ellis, well, I think that's a heck of a different thing than if you have a roster that is Lester Quinones and Rajon Tucker.
Yeah. I think regardless of what happens over the next 2, 3, 4 weeks, we're probably coming out of this on the other end with Memphis having a top 15 roster.
I think you're right, but that's my point. There's a difference between having, I think James Wiseman himself probably makes you a top 25 team. I mean, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could have put James on that roster 2 years ago and it wouldn't have made it much of a difference. That Tubby's last year.
But coming into the season, I think it would still have been a top 25 team. I don't think.
Yeah.
Let me phrase it. If you add James Wiseman to just about any roster, I think it makes at least the perception. You got the number one guy. It makes the perception going to be, and oftentimes, let's be real, preseason top 25 is primarily about interest and expectations, yeah, and the number one guy brings that. But you're right. I don't know if that necessarily makes you at the end of the season a top 25 team. My point being, if we are just, let's say, like, what do you think the bare minimum is to add? Because from my perception, it's Lester Quinones is at the bare minimum the very bottom of what they add.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I think they're gonna, like, that's the bare minimum. Yeah, I agree.
But that is an entirely different situation. Like, that team, I do think, is probably somewhere between 17 and 25.
Yeah.
In terms of preseason ranking and expectations. And then that, to me, that sets the standard that if you made the second weekend with that team, it's a pretty darn good year. Like, I'm sure maybe everyone will be a little bummed if they get beaten, you know, on Thursday or Friday of the second weekend, but that's still a pretty good year.
But
versus if you add Precious Achiuwa, Lester Quinones, Boogie Ellis, RJ Hampton, if you add those four, well, then all of a sudden you're talking about a Final Four team.
Like, you're talking about a top four preseason
team. Like, to me, there's a huge difference. And so, and that's in terms of, like, rightly or wrongly, like, expectations are going to matter because that's going to determine momentum of the program. Like, it is amazing. One of the things that has always blown me away with college basketball teams, even teams that have history like Memphis and have history of success like Memphis, when momentum gets working against you, it is so hard to get that momentum back. It takes years. It takes something like what we see with Penny Hardaway.
Okay, yeah.
You get like this, you have to, like, all the stars have to align. But it also leaves, and, like, as soon as the momentum starts going against you, it is amazing how quick it can go. And oftentimes,
I mean, we saw how quickly it went badly for Tubby.
Yes.
I mean, it was
like that. Yeah. It was basically half a season.
It was like a, yeah, I mean, everybody was like, oh, the recruiting will be one thing, but he'll get the Memphis kids. And he stopped getting the Memphis kids. And it was like, oh, he's just going to get his guys. And then he got his guys and was like, oh.
Who was the kid that transferred Texas Tech? God, the kid that it was either on his radio show or might even been a press conference. He was asked, you know, what do you view as a tubby guy? And it was, name blanks me. And he gave the example. And then it was
Keon Clergio?
Yeah, Keon Clergio. He goes, that's a tubby guy, you know, defensive mind and whatnot. And then Keon announced he was transferring like 24 hours later. Like, it was unbelievable. It was like one of those. It was one of those situations that if you saw that scripted in a movie, you're like, oh, come on. Like, yeah. That's just too easy of a joke. Like,
Keon Clergio, who I heard was transferring before some members of the staff, and then he transferred, and he was going to go closer to home. He was homesick. His dad had some illness, some problems that I don't want to talk about on the radio show, but he was sick. So, you know. Where do you think he's going to go? He's got FGCU, FIU, FAU, one of those mid-tier Florida teams, yeah. UCF.
Yeah.
You know where he ended up going? Can you guess? Guess.
Wasn't it Tech? I thought it
was... No, he was committed to Tech under Tubby.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I totally forgot. Where
he went
go?
To UMass.
Yeah, but it's right there. Everybody knows Florida and Massachusetts are like right there. Like,
they're like 5 minutes.
In fairness... For like 6 months of the year, basically anything below Orlando in Florida is like Massachusetts. It's like it's basically Massachusetts or New York. So in fairness, like that might have been a little taste of home. Like
I don't know about that one, Chief.
Again, there's 2,200 miles probably.
Just
or so,
fold the map in half.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
and yeah. All you just fold the map,
zoom out on Google, and then it looks
safe. Honestly,
really not that far.
Honestly, I probably talked to Keon. I think it was FGCU, but I don't think it was his line of thinking, but that was the line of thinking coming from the people involved. But he was in that video of KJ Lawson, where KJ Lawson notoriously dropped
the double birds.
The double birds and the tubby quote, which went poorly.
Turns out that was not well received.
No. Did you hear about KJ Lawson? He's visiting Tulane. Maybe back in the conference. Maybe returning to the FedEx Forum. That'd be fun.
Man, that would be a heck of a journey.
Yeah. I think he'd fit in well there. I really like their coach. KJ's great. KJ's a good dude. I think he's really
that
settled
video,
down a lot.
I don't know. The video just reminded me of the ultimate groupthink result where and it appeared maybe a drink or two might have been.
Oh, yeah, they were partying in Nashville.
Right. You're
like,
partying, and then someone has the idea, like, hey, man, wouldn't it be great? Like, F Tubby, man. Like,
put it on Snapchat.
Yeah,
nobody will see
yeah.
it.
And then, like, everyone's like, this is a great idea. And then you hit send, and you're like, ooh, that was not a great idea.
Or, I don't know, that may be one of those you don't wake up until the next day. And
yeah.
You're like, I did what?
Yeah.
Ooh. I don't know. I don't think I did that. Did I?
I got hacked. Can we use that anymore? Does that still work? Can we say I got hacked? Like, is that a big one? Can we no longer do that? All right. So let's look at the kids that are on board. And
okay.
I think this is a big question. How much risk is there going all in on RJ Hampton? What are you risking if you choose to go
missing on Boogie Ellis?
Is that worth, because this is what I do think
I don't know.
It's interesting to me because, again, it is just one person's opinion, but today when SI had their staff put together their top 2020 NBA draft, their hot board, if you will.
Yeah.
And RJ Hampton's sitting there at number 3.
Yeah.
And you're telling me
he is the prototypical NBA point guard.
I mean.
That you want in this day and age. He is big, fast, strong. Has a nice jumper, like he is the guy you want to. I like if I'm putting together an NBA team or a college basketball team of the class of 2019, and you say, "Hey, you can pick 3 kids out of the top 100." I'm picking two of my three are James Wiseman and RJ Hampton.
Okay, so I guess this is the question. Okay, so let's say if you go all in on R.J. Hampton, and that forces you to lose on Boogie Ellis. And again, I understand what Rod Hampton said. I still kind of agree
with... The only reason I think that would force you to do that is if you tell Boogie to wait.
Sure.
That's...
Yes.
That's the problem.
Sure, and I completely understand. But let's say... Let's go down this line of thinking. Let's say that indeed, going all in on R.J. Hampton costs you Boogie Ellis. Who's your point guard next year? Like, what is plan B? Are you going with Alex?
Wait, so do you get RJ in this situation?
No, let's say you don't. You end up going all in.
And you miss on both of them.
Correct.
Whew. Well, Damian Ball, Alex Lomax, maybe get Rajon Tucker, and he can run point. I mean,
because don't y'all think that's going to be the most important question? Because I think the answer to that's going to be, hey, man, we can't risk going all out to get RJ Hampton and risk it and lose Boogie Ellis.
I think they'll get one of the two.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
Yeah, I mean, it's a definite risk that you're running. I mean, they're juggling this amount of kids this late with these many types of decisions is very risky. You know that. Because kid changes his mind, and then, we prioritized the wrong one. He changed his mind, and it's too late to get over here, and then we have to do this. I don't think that's going to happen to Penny, but... we've seen it happen to other people.
Listen, I can tell you this for certain. I've had situations where I knew a kid was going to go to a certain school, and the coach was my freaking source.
Yeah.
And why he's like, well, you know, we got to keep this quiet because if so-and-so finds out that this guy's coming, we're screwed.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, then don't tell me. It's like, I don't work.
You're talking to the wrong person.
I was like, then why did you tell me this? Like, it never made sense to me. But it does, I think, what I struggle with is, okay, we know how good Precious Achiuwa is. Like, but how does he fit in? Because that is one thing that I struggle with. One of the things that we hear about a lot of these kids... They're all good, but they're all ball dominant.
Yep. I was talking to somebody about this yesterday.
Like, by the way, these are not my words. These are the words from scouts, from people that watch them. Like, they're like, these guys are ball dominant.
Like, Lester, not as ball dominant, can play off the ball, move around,
shoot threes. It's fair. Lester does not have the reputation. But for sure, Boogie Ellis, R.J. Hampton.
Boogie Ellis.
Yes.
Well, Boogie likes basketball.
Boogie is a man after my own heart. He is a point guard that believes the best shooting option is generally himself.
And
I can respect the heck out of that. I can fall in love with that.
So something we always faulted Josh Pastner for was, especially near the end, was you're taking a lot of kids who don't really make sense. Randall Brody, Dominic McGee. You're taking kids who you don't know if they're good enough, but they have the stars next to their name. And I do wonder if Penny is going to get caught up in that.
Instead, there's no question, because...
Over the construct... He's taking stars over the construction of a team.
100%. It's what I always... It's what I think, despite maybe his phone records in Tampa, Florida, I still think one of the things that was going to bring Hugh Freeze to the end before the scandal broke...
Yeah.
He was a star chaser.
Yep.
If it was the choice between getting a perfect example, Jannard Avery. Jannard Avery was a significant need on that side of the ball.
Grenada.
But there's this four-star receiver over there in Texas. I can go get me one of them. And then even, like, take the 2016 class that he had, which was the class with Shea Patterson.
Yep.
It was the A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Greg Little. It was, like, the number six or seven class in the country. This is an unbelievable class. But everyone's asking the same question. Like, elite offensively, where are the defensive guys?
Yeah.
And guess what? Lo and behold, turns out that was a team that could score.
Couldn't stop anybody.
Anyone.
But you're looking at it, and okay, say you do get, you get Precious, you get Boogie, you get Lester. Okay. What's Tyler Harris? What happens to Tyler Harris? What happens to Damian Ball? What happens if you all of a sudden have to bring Precious off the bench? What happens if he only plays 15 minutes a game? So I think
what about DJ Jeffries?
DJ Jeffries. What happens to DJ? So there are a lot of questions. Like, getting these guys, people think it's going to answer a lot of questions, but we're not going to have questions answered until probably midway through next year.
Well, here's the other flip side of it. In general, guys like James Wiseman very rarely bust, like, especially at that level. Usually the number one guy, there are obviously number one players that are better than other number one players, but in general, the number one guy ends up panning out. But there's plenty of examples of number 130 ending up being better than number 38 in a class.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the other risk that you have is you don't know which one of those guys is going to end up being the one that pans out and works out. And so I think they have a more difficult juggling act than I think is getting credit.
Oh, no, it's very difficult.
I think that's really the whole theme, like, Connor, when we talk about it from the start of the show, like, that I understand the excitement. And I'm not even trying to sit here and pour shade and pour water, but, like, I think the juggling act is going to be difficult.
No, it's a legitimate concern. I mean,
did you know that Zion Williamson wasn't the number one player in his class?
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, Connor. I just realized that.
Who was it, RJ?
It was RJ.
Yeah, RJ was the number one.
RJ and Cam Reddish, Nasir Little, Bulbul, then Zion.
Yeah. Well, I was actually going to use Cam Reddish as a good example of this. We saw what can happen when you have too many guys that need the ball in their hands. Cam Reddish disappeared for half of the games, and he never got into rhythm. And when they needed him down the stretch, he couldn't step up because he wasn't used to it yet.
Well, there's no question.
Chemistry is going to be a real issue on this team. I think that they may be able to figure it out, but to act like that just getting these guys means that they're going to walk to the Sweet 16, that's just not true.
Yeah. No,
it's not true.
Well, and in fairness, by the way, I mentioned that it is a concern, but I think I'd rather have I'd rather have that concern.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have that concern than
it's a good problem
to have.
It's a great problem to have.
I got a roster, and let me tell you what, my roster makes sense, but no one's any good. But I got a guy that really fits the point guard position. He's slow.
Hey.
He can't go left, but let me tell you what, he's a floor general. I got a big man that's 35 pounds overweight, but let me tell you what, when he backs that ass up, it is. He can really, really make it happen.
I'm having flashbacks to 2016.
That recruiting class?
It's better than having Connor Vanover as your number one guy.
Hey, don't you hate him, my guy.
No, Connor can play. He's a good player, but it's better.
Wait, Lil Durk?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Lil Durk? He wound up at Cal, and then where's...
Did you see his cornrows?
Is he transferring it? Oh, yes, they look good.
Oh, absolutely. Blonde cornrows never look bad.
Of course. Justin Timberlake, right. Everyone knew that was a good look. Like, it's the only way. How do you improve on frosted tips?
Oh.
Blonde hair, cornrows.
I do have a question for you, Jonah.
Okay.
So, is the thinking basically that you can get Lester without
if
Precious doesn't come, you can get Lester, but you can't get Precious without Lester?
That's generally my thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, to me, here's what it seems like. And, Jonah, correct me if I'm wrong, because you're right to point out it's not a package deal, but it was almost like Lester was the in for Memphis with Precious.
Yes. I know. I think because they started, if my memory serves me correctly, there are people out there who may be able to correct me on this, because they didn't start recruiting Lester until about November, I think, if my memory is serving me correctly. That may not be right, but they had already brought Precious in for a visit at Madness in October. Maybe, I don't know. It just seems like, but to me, I don't think you don't get in with Precious without this thing with Lester. Or you don't get as deep as you have with Precious.
Right.
People think he's coming here.
Right. But they're not attached.
No, I think if they were attached, you'd see a lot of different schools involved at this point.
Yeah. Everyone always does the package deal thing. I've seen it work some, but...
When was the last time we saw a basketball package deal?
That's the thing. Like, I've seen it work in football, and oftentimes it works in football when...
Well, but when was the last time you actually saw somebody 100%... I see people say they are, and then those two people go to different schools.
Oh, it happens all the time. That they're packaged and they go to different schools?
Yeah, but when they're packaged and they go to the same school.
I thought you were saying they go to different schools.
No, when they go to different... They go to different schools all the time, correct.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
When is... Like, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head. I think maybe the two guys down in Arizona, the two kids, Nico Mannion and Josh Green, are the closest thing I've seen to a package deal this year.
I mean, basically, I think you can be a package deal. I think you have to be brothers. I think you have to be the Harris,
Morris brothers.
Yeah.
I guess.
Like, I think if you have the same last name, there's a decent chance that you are indeed a package deal, because mom and dad don't want to travel.
Flaming hot take.
Yes. I hope everyone was sitting down for that. Is Dave Matthews Band LeBron James? We'll explore this question when we come back.
Oh no!
Right here on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's Unicorn Cash.
Yeah!
Your chance to win $1,000 with the cash code on 92.9. Coming up at 3 p.m.
Hey, it's Eric Hasseltine from the Memphis Grizzlies here to tell you about the best place to get a pre-owned vehicle in the entire Mid-South, and that is DeSoto Auto Sales. You can visit them on the web at DeSotoAutoSales.com or simply head on over to 5704 Goodman Road in Olive Branch. Why DeSoto Auto Sales, you say? Well, their prices are fantastic. They've got over 250 cars on the lot, and they range in price from $8,000 to $30,000. Most of these cars are still under their factory warranty, so you're getting a great vehicle. They've been inspected 5 times before they hit the lot. And it's their selection. The lot is always changing. They're trying to get them out of there at the